Okay, you're with Radio City Talk. This is a kickoff. Right, let's focus on a couple of things. First of all, England against Wales. England shouldn't be getting beat by the Welsh. Of course they should. Look at the two teams. But Gareth Bale has thrown one out there. And Gareth Bale says he wouldn't swap any of the Welsh players for the English players. Let's talk to a man who knows all about wearing the three lions on his chest. It's Mark Wright. Morning to you, Wrighty.
Morning, Steve. How are you, pal?
Very good indeed. Gareth Bale's comments, inflammatory. Fair enough from Bale because he's protecting his country. But let's face it, there aren't many Welsh players that should get into an English side, are there?
No. And to be fair, you know, it's a little bit of, you know, trying to wind each other up, trying to do things, say things, just to see if they can get the upper hand and get a little bit of an edge and trying to get into people's brains. But the reality of it is, the England side is far too good to be losing to Wales at this moment in time. I'm not being disrespectful to Wales in any way, shape or form. You know, Gareth Bale is the man that makes everything happen, everything tick. Yeah, they work hard. They better put in a real good performance the other day. But listen, if the England players play to their potential, there's only one result, and that would be that England would win the game. And I don't mean to be, you know, to set the cat amongst the pigeons with all the Welsh fans out there, but listen, I'm English through and through, and I just can't see any other way, any other result than England winning. I really can't.
Right, so you played in some massive England games, Italian 90. Yeah, those incredible clashes. This is a different sort of massive game, isn't it? With it almost being a local derby.
Well, it is. Everyone, all the players, they know each other, don't they? They know how they perform. They play against them week in, week out. So it's a big, big game, and it's a must win. Well, is it a must win for England? Because if Russia cause any more trouble, obviously they'll be out of the competition. You know, but for pride and for your nation and for English football, that's a must win game. A draw wouldn't be seen as a great result, but I mean, it would be enough to be going into the last game to beat Slovakia, actually, to qualify, I would imagine.
Go on.
No. I'm just saying. I just can't. You know, for the life of me, if each one of our players play to their mix, we'll get a positive result. That's for sure.
How do you deal with a Gareth Bale? Do you make any special preparations for facing Gareth Bale? Or do you just tell your team they've got to do what they always do, but just be extra focused on him?
No, listen, Gareth Bale obviously scored a free kick the other day. You know, he worked hard and did all the bits and pieces. But at the end of the day, you know, don't give silly free kicks away in and around the 18-yard box because you know what he can produce. I think you've got to be a little bit more disciplined in that respect for the defenders. But listen, why worry about Gareth Bale? You know, you're playing against world-class players every time you play against any team in the European Championship or in the World Cup. You don't overdo things just for one player. Go and play your game. You know, go and push a high line. Go after them. And if England, you know, hit the heights that they did the other day and all of a sudden convert their chances that they had into goals, it'll become a one-sided match. But listen, it's going to be full of passion. It's going to be full of incidents, isn't it? And you wouldn't expect anything less from England playing Wales in the European Championship.
I'm sure when you pull that England shirt on, your heart's pumping out of your chest. You're already sort of drilled to the max. But what influence can your manager have in the dressing room? I saw Joey Barton call Roy Hodgson an emotional vampire the other day. In other words, he sucks the emotion out of the players. What sort of influence did your manager, when you were playing for England, have on you?
Well, he did. We were lucky. I mean, I played with England under Sir Bobby Robson, God rest his soul, and Terry Venables, two inspirational men, people who knew their jobs inside out. But it's not about that. It's about your players. I mean, we were lucky. It was full of captains. I mean, we had Peter Shilton, then there was Stuart Pearce, who was a captain. I was a captain. Terry Butcher was a captain. You know, you've got Brian Robson. You've got John Barnes. You meet Gary Lineker. You just go through the whole lot. There's big personalities everywhere. And I think it's more about not so much what the manager says, because he can organise you throughout the week and building up this game. When you're about to go out there, it's about the players. It's about what passion the players have to go and play for your country and do the right things and go out there to achieve a result. I mean, Terry Butcher used to, just before, you know, before we're going out, he used to be screaming and shouting, and he'd probably butt the door and punch the wall and go, let's go get him. I mean, that's all you need. Tony Adams, people like that, you know, yeah. We were all the same. That creates its own atmosphere, and you know, and the togetherness, and you think just you feel like you can go out and beat anybody, and you just get on with the game. So I think it's more about the players. Players want it badly enough, they'll go and get a result.
You can't quite associate that with this modern-day group of players. You're talking about players busting the door, punching the air, and you know, you don't feel that your Adam Lallanas or your James Milners or your Raheem Sterlings have got anything of that in them.
Well, I'd like to think that I would like to have a different view on that and hope that they have, because the reality of it is that, listen, football is a passionate game and a passionate affair, and you have to be really so up for it. Don't be quiet. Don't be, insular. Get out there. Really, really be up for this game. And it's about passion. It's about pride. It's about showing the nation that how much you really care. Sing the national anthem with it, you know, at the top of your voices. That in itself gets you going as well. And I just think that, like I said, have the players got it? I'd like to think they have. I would like to think that they, you know, for this game, they were to be so up for it. I mean, even sometimes, you know, you get players in the dressing room that are very quiet, but you can see in their faces that really, you know, they're bubbling, they're ready to go. Stuart Pearce wasn't a screamer and shouter until it was the last minute to go out the door, and then he was like, brah. So, you know, that people just, they react in different ways. As long as we're not tippy-tappy, and as long as we go out there and show everybody what we're about, you know, that we're very good players, we're great professionals, and we're men, and show that passion, I think that goes a long way. And I'd like to think that these players do have that.
You could see that on the faces of the Italian team when they lined up and their national anthem was being played ahead of the Belgium game. They looked like one of those. They looked like one of the teams you used to play, and those players you're talking about, that they were absolutely busting, you know, a gut to get going, to represent their country. You could see it in their faces, the likes of Buffon, etc.
Well, listen, yeah, absolutely. There's so many of these players that are so up for it. Now, listen, this is a European Championship. You know, some of these players, you know, might not play again. Some of them, you know, whatever may happen. This is the opportunity. This is a chance for us to get through the group. You know, get through the group stage. This is a chance for us to go and show everybody that we are a real good footballing nation. We're one of the youngest teams out there, if not the youngest team, with so much in front of us. But what they got to do is just take the ball by the horns. Just go out and play, like I said before, with pride, with passion. Get after everybody. Don't fear anybody. And what I mean, listen. I'd be in there saying, don't worry about Gareth Bale. Let them worry about everyone we've got in our side. You know, get after them. Let's play our game. Let's go and be positive. And if you're honest, I mean, Gareth Bale has made a quote saying he wouldn't swap any of his side. Well, I mean, the England players might turn around and say, well, the only one we might take is you, Gareth. So it swings around about. It's all mind games. It's all good banter. But the reality is, it has to be proven on the day. And that day is just around the corner, and we're about to see. And I'm full of confidence with the players that we have. And if they, like I said, if they go and play to their potential, there's only one result.
And perhaps for the tournament as a whole, the brighter point here is there hasn't been one team, bar maybe Italy, there hasn't been one other team that is super standout. Everyone seems on a similar sort of level in terms of their football.
You know what I think it is? I think the first game in the groups is always they're always tentative affairs, aren't they? They're always the ones that, you know, you don't want to lose that first game. You don't want to be chasing things. So everyone's a little, you know, it's they keep everything. They play tight. They play safe. And after the first game, then you'll see the teams if they've got beat, they've got to go for it. They've got to have a go because they need to get a result. So, you know, I think you'll see which teams are really up for it. You know, on the second and third games in the group, and then you'll see. The best team is sort of rising. I really do. And I mean, and there's a lot of strong sides in there as well.
Right. A quick word on something. I opened the paper the other day. I saw Mark Wright at the International Business Conference in Liverpool. I think, Mark Wright, I know. I'm looking there, and you're addressing an audience alongside Michael Owen and various other people. It's brilliant. You've got involved in something that's going to be massive. Tell us about it, Wrighty.
Yeah, from footballer to businessman. Who would have thought it? But the reality is what we've done, we've been working for about 18 months now, maybe more, on some projects for football schools and coach education and bits and pieces. And obviously, Michael and myself have partnered together with my wife, Sue, and Steve Wood, Michael's agent, to form a company called Red Sport. And what we're doing is, obviously, we've had many, many phone conversations, Skype conversations, WeChats, and visits over to China to try and put it all together so that we can start helping them fulfill the dream that they wanted. And we got approached. We're putting things together, as in syllabuses and coaching, not only for, like I said, for coaching kids from grassroots level and coaching elites. They're talking about football academies. They're talking about all sorts of things. So the next step is, obviously, we'll be visiting China very shortly to push this forward. And that's where we are. That was our business. So, you know, we're very excited by it. We're very happy with what we've achieved to date. But it's obviously now we've got to push on. But it's a big venture, I can assure you, Steve.
A huge untapped talent pool in China, and China has become very much committed to trying to become a superpower in the sport of football as well.
Well, it is. I mean, what they're doing is they're creating the hype and they're buying loads of expensive, players to go over and play in their national league. But everybody knows, you know, that they're way behind in the national team who they're playing. I think they got beat 1-0 by, I don't know, I think it was Azerbaijan or one of them countries the other day. And what they need to do is they need to start from the youngsters, like everybody does, you know, the 3-4-year-olds, and push them up. You're never going to make a 16, 17-year-old over there at this moment in time a world beater. But what you're going to do is the slow process of coaching them, helping the coaches become really educated and push them forward that way. And there's loads of people trying to get in there, but it is a slow process. And the president himself and everybody over there, they've got a 30-odd-year plan to make sure that this happens. They want to host a World Cup. They want to win a World Cup. And they are a superpower in lots of other things that they do. So who's to say that they're not going to become something like this? And what they've invited us to do and what we're trying to do is help them on the way and give some education football-wise.
China Soccer School, best of luck with it. Right, it sounds brilliant.
Cheers,
to both you and Mike alone. We'll keep tabs on that one. Thanks for your company.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Steve.